Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Jessie Mae. This is another episode of the Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. How you living? How you loving? How you learning? You putting stuff in your butt? What's going on this week? Give it to me. Tell me how you're feeling. I hope you're doing well. This is going to be a very revealing episode, but before we get into that, my voice just totally is gone. My voice literally has been dying for the past, I don't know, 10 years. Anywho, don't forget, please go subscribe to my YouTube page, youtube.com/JessieMae. I'm fucking terrible at this. Jessie Mae Peluso. Check it out. New videos for the podcast are posted every week, and we're doing backlogged videos from the podcast. So if you want to watch the podcast, go to youtube.com/JessieMae Peluso. Hit subscribe and also share. I appreciate if you would share it. Sharing is caring in this new world and this old world. We should be sharing more, but not your germs or your globules. Please keep your COVID globules to yourself. And if you want to call in the podcast and have a voicemail that you leave played on the podcast, you can do that at 513-916-0930. Give me a call. 513-916-0930. Leave me a voicemail or a text message if you're shy, but I like to play the voicemails. So don't be a pussy. Buck up. It's a short life. And as Robin Williams said, you're only given a little spark of madness. You mustn't lose it. So don't lose your madness. Leave it in a voicemail. Let us all hear your madness. And what else? You guys know Cameo app. Hit me up on Cameo if you want me to make you a custom video. Any type of fun ridiculousness that you want from me, you can book me on the Cameo app. Yes. And that's about it, you guys. We're going to get right into this episode because it was very revealing. It features a comedian, an actress from Netflix's Insatiable, an author. You have to check out her book, Little Miss Little Compton. She is so delightful. She's so raw and just pure magic. And she came onto the show to talk about grief and what it's like to try and thrive during that time in your life where you might lose somebody or be going through loss and losing somebody slowly or losing somebody fast. She has been through it all. A wonderful woman and amazing comedian and just a bright light. I hope you enjoy my interview with the lovely Arden Marine. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You'll probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Jessie Mae, here on the Sharp Tongue Podcast, reminding you to not be an asshole. Okay? Life is short. We're a blip in time. And because of that, you shouldn't be a cunt. Be kind. And speaking of kind, this next guest literally is a beam of sunshine. The moment I met her, I honestly thought she's either a serial killer or the nicest person in the world and the most purest person ever. She's either like the most pure serial killer ever or the most purest person. And it turns out she's calling us from prison. She's a murderer. No, she's amazing. She's a comedian, stand-up comedian. Actress, author, Little Miss Compton, Little Miss Little Compton, which is a real place. It is a real town in Rhode Island. She wrote a memoir, and honestly, I am in the midst of it, and it's so revealing, and it makes me feel like her and I were definitely separated at birth, and we have so many grief connections, very parallel grief connections that make me wonder, is everything just... you know, coincidence, or is there something else going on where you actually meet people and you're connected for a reason? And I believe that, and I'm so excited to talk to her. She's amazing. Everyone, please give it up for the one, the only, Arden Marine.
Don't be an asshole. Just don't be a cunt. Don't be a cunt in 2020.
Right?
It's too hard as it is. Life is too hard.
They're real.
They're real. They're real. And they're jiggly.
Yeah, you've got good, you know, you're a thin framed woman with you have curves.
I've got curves. I'm a small gal I've got a tush, I got a booty, and I've got real titties. And I wouldn't say they've ever been standing they're cute in a bra. You know what I mean?
That's hello, second memoir title.
Cute in a bra is number two. Spooning with Hooker is a girl's life, number three. But yeah, those are my titles.
it really is so revealing, and I have so many questions.
Yeah.
First, how long would you say this endeavor took you?
I mean, if I'm being really honest about it, this journey, this freaking beast started, the idea of it started like 9 years ago. And then I've had iterations, different proposals, different versions. And I would say the actual book total writing probably took like 14 months total.
That's a pretty decent amount of time. It's not so much a summary of your life as much as it's highlights of things you've experienced. And it's like you really chose to feature things that, one, break your heart, and two, and this is why I've always, you know, the few times that we've actually seen each other, you know how comedians are. You feel like you know each other so, so well because of the nature of what we do. But
it's always festivals. Yeah.
It feels like you found aspects of your life that people could really learn from in a way that they feel like they can survive the tough stuff.
I mean, it's an interesting, I just wanted to write like a breezy, fun, silly beach read. And by the nature of like when I sold it, how it all went down. Did you finish it? Have you finished the book?
I'm almost done.
I don't care if you finish. There's spoilers at the end of like.
I needed to skip to the end because of what I'm going through.
Okay. So that's because I'm wondering. I'm like, she's already, I could tell you've already read the end. It's like this fun book that turns into something else. So basically, it was supposed to just be sort of like my David Sedaris, my version of Chelsea Hand. Like, I wanted to write this fun beach read. And then that was the goal. That was the original proposal. Like, I did the podcast Couples Therapy, and they read it, and they said that they thought it should be called like Funning with Scissors. It's like a fun version of Running with Scissors, where it's like kind of this crazy family, but it's fun. And like, so I just wanted like this fun, relatable, like quirky family with some fucking rascal stuff. And then like, I found out I sold the book. I was filming Insatiable. I was at episode one, season two. I was at a twerk out class with Debbie Ryan, and I got a call that nobody could get in touch with my mom. And like, I was there when they found her on the phone. Like, my mom died. Like, she died making breakfast. And so.
Her favorite breakfast.
Her favorite toast.
Which is so, what you smell when you die.
Oh, my God. Or when you have a stroke. And so I hope I smell toast
when I die.
That's
what it is. When you have a stroke, it's not when you die.
You taste pennies and you smell toast when you're having a stroke. Which I love toast. I mean, that's almost every – I love toast. Who doesn't like butter or
peanut
butter?
If you don't like toast.
If you don't like fucking toast, what the fuck's wrong?
You're weird.
You don't like your garbage if you don't like fucking toast. So I went home to my mom's funeral, and on the way to the funeral, like after so many freaking years of trying to sell this sucker, I get this email out of the blue that's like, hope you're having a great week. It's like, not really. They're like, we're so excited to do this book with you. I sold the book on the way to my mother's funeral. And literally, which is like a 20-second drive because it's the smallest town in America that I grew up in, Little Compton, Rhode Island. Excuse you. Little Compton, Rhode Island. Shout out. Excuse you. There she is. Chelsea. Chelsea Handler says it's fun. Excuse you. And so then I'm like, well, fuck. Like now, so now it's a different book. Like my mom was barely in the proposal, like barely. It actually, so it completely turned into a different book. It was like a tribute to her. And I wrote it as, I mean, I was supposed to do your podcast. And then I get this message from your producer that you were on a plane, that something terrible has happened to your mom, which of course I don't want anybody to ever. I mean, were you at a twerk out class when you found out?
Do you know what's crazy? Because I wanted to tell you, I literally am such a nerd. I've leafed parts of the book where I'm
please,
like.
Please, please. Tell me
so
everything.
So you were filming for Netflix. One of your, I mean, you've done so many, we both have worked so much, but you've done so much. You've been in movies and you've done, whoever has a successful TV show featuring comedians, you've been on it. But was Insatiable like one of your bigger gigs?
It was like my first hour long that I was a regular of, and I was like the bad guy, and it was, and I felt like they really trusted me and they really got me, and I got to be the villain. I was a serial killer, you know, like spoiler alert, but like, but like, you know, and they would like let me improvise. So like just creatively, and it was all run by women, and we had like our directors were women or gay men. It was just like, I felt like I could just run free. Creatively. It was my favorite thing I ever got to do.
So I was doing the same thing with Netflix in September. Like that's all the things you just said is exactly how I felt about this project. And then, you know, the day after my birthday, you know,
when's your birthday?
September 16th.
My mom's the 17th. I love a Virgo. I love
that
a Virgo.
That is so weird.
And my best friend's the 17th.
That's really strange. There's a lot of similarities in our life that freak
me
out.
I love this. I was supposed to. Okay, so you're filming.
It's the day after your
birthday. So it's my mom's birthday. So it's my mom's birthday.
Yeah, so like 17th, the 18th, I get a call from my sister that my mom is like in a coma and they don't know if she's going to wake up, and the hospital's telling her to do a DNR. And I'm like.
Yeah. And we're in a pandemic.
And we're in a pandemic. I'm on a closed set. I'm not supposed to go anywhere. And I had to fly back. Netflix was like, absolutely, they weren't even. And you also spoke about like the camaraderie and the friendships and feeling so like how much you felt safe and supported on that set by all walks of, you know, the whoever's on, you know, like the cast and the crew and network side. Like I felt the same way. Like they were just like, go, you need to go and do this. There's no question. Like I had a break. We had to stop. I cost the production probably a pretty penny because we were on a closed set. So they couldn't pause the production. They were in a, you know, they had that little set amount of time because of the way things are in pandemic. But yeah, I had to go back and deal with that whole revelation, which you asked before, like what happened. And I've told people before on the podcast, but in brief, she went in for a twisted colon, which is a life
like,
or death.
Who even knows that's a thing? Like
who
nightmare.
Even?
Nightmare.
Wait, what?
The human condition is a nightmare. Nightmare.
It's like, isn't
the poor
it already
fucking
twisted?
Woman. Isn't that enough? Like, how do you twist your colon? Like,
how do you?
What
are you doing?
What do you mean twisted colon? How dare you? No,
what are you
you've
doing?
Got
like,
a twisted colon. How you? Dare you? How dare you? Twist
so
sweet.
Rude.
Sweet mama, peace, colon. Excuse me, rude. Twist your own colon, world.
So rude.
So
2020,
rude.
The whole
Excuse
year
me.
Felt like a twisted
rude.
Colon.
Excuse me. This is the year of the twisted colon. Rude. Tacky.
Okay, side note. I also say rude to everyone so much so that my niece and nephew are starting to like have full conversations. Say rude
yeah.
to people.
Yeah.
Very
yes.
strange.
Spirit
very, very
animal.
Strange.
Spirit animal.
Rude.
Sister
I also go like
mister.
If somebody says something to me, like they make a character accusation, I go rude, but accurate.
Rude.
Very
rude.
Accurate.
Oh, definitely accurate. Oh, they're all accurate. Everything shitty you say about me is probably 100% accurate. And rude. Let me insult myself first. I know. You think I don't know that I sound like this? You think I don't know that my face is a little pointy or that I look a little bit like Adam Scott? I know. You don't need to point it at Adam Scott. You don't need to tell me. I'll tell you because that's rude. Rude.
Very. It's highly rude. It's rude. Intensely rude.
Rude.
But yeah, we have this, you know, so you had to like break production. How long were you gone from production?
I had to go for a week. So they had to reboard everything because there was like an ice storm in Rhode Island. Like I couldn't get home. So I had to wait a couple days like a maniac in an Airbnb trying to get to my mom's house. But I'd had sex because my dad had died season one. God, that was the other thing. I was like, hey guys, normally I'm the fun one on the set. They only know me as a grieving maniac on location in Atlanta. But my dad died forever. And I will say, like, I did a Steve Martin play. I did like the pre-Broadway run of the one that Amy Schumer did. And opening night, right before curtain, I get a call. My dad's like in the street roaming, like he's gonna die. I remember turning, I didn't tell anybody but the woman that shared, it was like four of us, a four person play. I never left the stage. And she was like, your father's been rushed to the hospital, he's probably gonna die. Opening night, curtain. And I'm like, Steve Martin was there, they're all there. Like Martin Shore is there, they're all fucking there. And I was like, you know what? If he's dead now, he's gonna be dead in 2 hours. Like I can't deal with this. Like I just have to, like, let me just go do tonight and just stick my landing. I've worked my whole life. I'm, like, the lead in this play. I got to just do this. Like, it's not going to do anything. Let me just execute this tonight. And I did.
Did you shut it down completely or were you able to process it?
No, I mean, in the moment, I was batshit. But I do think, as being a comedian, I mean, there's so much adrenaline. In order to like get your sea legs as a stand-up, you learn, if you have to, under pressure, with high adrenaline, you learn how to self-soothe enough. When Elvis starts to leave the building of your body, you learn how to like be like, no, not today, devil. Like, let's just, like, we've all had shows when it's like the Friday late show. And I think in some ways, there's nothing prepares you more than anything than like a Friday late show in Indianapolis at like Crackers.
That's why Steve Martin quit comedy.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, truly. I mean, that is, I think nights like that prepare you for things like this where if you have to go do it, nothing is worse like than a drunken heckling crowd. Like if you can survive that and wrangle them, you can do this. And I had to go for a week, but then I came right back and the first scene up was a funeral scene.
I mean that's also side note, another similarity we have. I was scheduled to shoot a show with E, a show I had prepped for 2 or 3 weeks for. I had to learn dance steps and routines. And the night before the episode airs, my sister called me and told me that my father had passed away. And I had to go and I did the same thing where I was like,
you did it. Did you do it?
I did because I could hear my dad being like, what do you do? Like, you need to go do this show. I'm going to be gone.
How long ago was that?
2 years ago.
Oh, my God. So we're on the same trajectory.
September,
we're
on the same path. October 29th, 2018.
All right. Yeah.
When did your father pass away?
Let's
do dead parent.
Dead. My dead dad was like July 31st, 2017. Mom was March 2019. 18 months.
And it's, you know.
Same, but it's the same time difference as you.
It really is.
Mine was just a year ahead. So twisted colon.
Twisted colon. So anyone who has a twisted colon out there, FYI, If you have gastrointestinal issues, go get them checked out because your colon could be twisted.
Dude, who knows what's up there? Who knows? Anything could be happening. I don't know. I'm not judging you. I don't know how that happened. I'm not like putting a hex on you.
Yeah, I mean.
Check it out.
They don't even know why, which is just rude. You went 10 years to medical school?
Yeah, thank you. You went 10 years to medical school. You're not going to get up in my business?
Yeah, you're not going to give me like, can you like make up a reason why it happens?
Yeah.
Can just you make some, I'm not.
I want you to at least lie to my face and tell me that I'm pretty for the night. As you're, please. You know what I mean? Just lie to my face and tell me my colon might be twisted.
Yes. Just reach into that bag of medical expertise and pull out some bullshit.
So how many siblings do you have? You've got...
I'm the youngest of four, but my mother and father had two, and my dad had two from his previous marriage.
Okay. So you get this call, you go, you're like, okay, twisted colon has now morphed into...
She was being prepped for surgery, because if you have a twisted colon, you have to have surgery. It's life or death.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know that. I mean, you've heard of twisted colon.
You know, I went to
medical school.
You guys,
twisted colon will not be at Coachella this year.
Oh my God, I love them. I did so much ecstasy and I danced to twisted colon. I was just flying out in the desert. So sunburned. My heavy tits should have been more like wrangled.
Heavy
they were
tits.
Just flying freely in a crochet top at twisted colon. But I had a great time. Great time.
Heavy tits could be your rapper name.
Heavy tits. Also was
DJ
actually,
Heavy
was
Tits.
Headlining, they did a little, guest spot. It was great. It was great. I didn't expect that combo to come together, heavy tits and twisted colon. But you know what? Sometimes lemonade happens.
Lemonade, listen. Sometimes you're served a platter of goodness from life and you just got to squeeze it into a glass and drink it.
True story.
You really do.
True story.
Do you ever do this sometimes after, like if you just like laugh and then you're done filming, you think that, are you like self-conscious about the microphone, like the being laved? I'm always like.
Oh my God. Oh.
Like in the bathroom, just laughing to yourself.
I feel like I realized when all the Me Too things started and the Time's Up thing started, and like I'm like, the jokes I've made on audio, I'm like, I didn't realize how much like, I didn't realize once I was mic'd, like how much I'm like, oh, I make a lot. Because when you're around a lot of dark people, you're just
talking shit.
You talking shit. But then, like, if you're around, this was the first show I was on where it was like, it was for the CW and then Netflix bought it. So I'd never been around, like, the beautiful people. You know what I mean? I had literally never even seen most of them before in my life, like, except for Alyssa Milano. Like, I'd never even signed in on the same call sheet as them. I literally didn't know who anybody was.
And I mean, Debbie Ryan is... so beautiful.
Oh my God. I remember she did my podcast a few times and I had to warn, I host a very silly bachelor podcast, very, very hard hitting, very important political bachelor podcast. And
what's it called? Tell them what it's called.
Will you accept this rose? And I mean, it's so dumb. And it's like me and comedians talking about The Bachelor. It's so dumb. I treat it like a sporting event. Like, who's going to get banged in the fantasy suites? Like, who's the villain? Who's going to be drunk in the first night? Like, whose sibling is going to mouth kiss them when they go to hometowns? Things like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a lot of like brothers that wear like cowl neck sweaters and like mouth kiss. Anyway, but I remember Debbie did it a couple times and I had to warn everyone, like, when you're sitting at a table, like, her face is so pretty.
Her face
like,
is looking, so perfect.
Her face, and what's interesting about her is once you actually, she was the person that I accidentally befriended, turns out she's a funny ding-dong.
She's funny.
She doesn't know, like, she doesn't know that she's that face. She's actually really funny, and it was, like, she's actually, like, a little bit, she's a similar spirit animal. She would be your
pal. She's spicy. She's spicy. I did Steve Burns' movie, opening act, and it's with her and a bunch of other people, and Peter, you know who produced that? Freaking the dude from Christmas Story.
Oh, the you'll shoot your eye out?
Yes.
Did he look exactly the
he
same?
He looked exactly the same.
You know who his best friend is?
You.
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yeah.
I'm the female Vince Vaughn. A lot of people think I am Vince Vaughn. Okay, so what happened? So she was in a coma. Twisted colon.
So she's getting prepped to get her colon untwisted. Like, I don't even, at this point, I'm like, are they cutting into her? Are they just going to, like, sort of fold her? I'm imagining them just folding her in a way that she just like, untwists.
Like a balloon animal.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's how we would do it. We should have gone to, excuse you.
Excuse me, you don't have solutions?
We should have gone to medical school.
Oh, we don't need to. Robbed. We already solved it.
The world, we figured it out, assholes. How about this?
Did you try not untwisting that? It?
Why don't you not make the poodle with the balloon? You make the snake.
Yeah. You ever hose your garden and it gets a kink?
Yeah.
What do you don't cut the kink.
Yeah, you don't cut the kink, dickhead. Then everything's going to go flying. You do that. Okay, so they were going to untwist her.
So she's sitting in the prep room to go into surgery, and her boyfriend, who, fun twist in the story, my mother's boyfriend now was my stepdad 15 years ago. They got divorced, but he's back in the picture.
I love that for them.
I do too.
I love that for them.
Steve.
Great.
Who also happened to be the neighbor's dad. He lived four houses down, and then he moved into my house.
Ooh.
That's how you become a comedian. That's one of the recipes.
Oh, trust me. You definitely need some kind of a dad situation. There's something with the dad. They're either missing, they're in jail,
they're an alcoholic.
They're on unsolved mysteries. They're alcoholic. There's a quirk with the dad. Somebody, you scratch the surface of a female comedian, you're going to find a little pepper in the pot with the dad.
Yeah, there's always a little bit. And it's not like, I mean, there's some weird daddy issues some of them have. But
oh, yeah.
Mine was a stepdad who was my friend's dad. And I was like, why is Steve here? Why is he just not leaving?
Steve, why aren't you going home? Excuse you.
Steve. Rude.
Why are you fucking my mom, Steve?
Steve, why do you have a coffee mug?
Rude, Steve. I don't need to see you at breakfast.
Steve, are those your slippers? Rude.
Steve, I'm 11 and you're Steve. And you need to go home now, Steve. Rude.
You I'm 11 and you're Steve. Oh my God, I'm going to look at him next time I go home and just laugh my ass off.
That's it. That just sums it all up right there. I'm 11 and you're Steve. And you're going to now have to sign me up for an open mic at the Chuckle Hut because of our interaction right here over an Eggo.
My God. So he's in the prep room with Nance. Nancy.
Sure. Yeah.
Your mom's name is Janet.
Janet and Nance.
I have Aunt Janet. Another thing. Another layer to our weird cake.
Our onion cake. Our friendship onion cake. Our friendship
onion cake.
Sounds
delicious with the right.
Oh my God.
Arrangement?
I like anything. I like flavors, even gross ones.
We are doctors and we're also extreme bakers.
We're extreme baker doctor. We're extreme sport baker doctor. So we kind of know what we're doing. Okay, so Steve is there. Nancy's ready to go into surgery. Make sure they untwist this. Yeah.
So he's looking at her and she just goes,
Nope.
Had a heart attack, went into cardiac arrest.
That's the thing. It's like lights out.
And then that's when she, you know, was in somewhat of a coma.
Thank God she was in the hospital, though.
The hospital said if this were to happen at home, she would have died.
That's what happened to the Jasters, JJ. Making toast. Lights out. At least she had toast to look. She didn't even get to eat the fucking toast, but she had hope when she died. She had hope.
She did have hope when she died. And you know what? This is a real lesson that hospitals should serve breakfast for regular people.
Thank you. That's exactly. Thank you.
It's the hospital's fault that Janet died.
Thank you. She should have just been there like, give me the toast, please. Because
toast should only
there.
Be available in hospitals.
You have to go. If you want your toast, you better come here. You want your Thomas's English muffin slathered in oleo, as she called it?
Oleo? You want your margarine. Nooks and crannies saturated with yellow chemicals?
You
want
to give yourself a heart attack for breakfast? You have a heart attack? You better do it here in the fucking hospital.
Yeah. You're going to Smith Sloan's hospital, third floor.
Yeah. So she had a heart attack. And then what happened? What'd they do?
Well, then they were like, well, this has gotten a little bit complicated. She still had to have this emergency surgery.
Yeah.
So they had to defibrillate her a few times. You know, they zapped her. I think that's when they plug her into a wall. I'm not sure. I think they throw water on her and do a hair dry thing. That's how you do it.
That's how I did it at my medical school, which is Four Seasons Landscaping Medical School.
Yeah, we asked for the budget defibs, and it's when they toss your mom into a bathtub
and
throw
a
hair dryer.
Just a toaster in, yeah.
They put your mom's toaster.
and the toast pops up, and she wakes up and is like, I got it. Okay, so
people listening, nobody should be offended because we're laughing about our moms. So
guys,
you
here's
should
the
be
thing:
laughing.
We're all laughing because what else are we gonna do, guys? It's 2020. It's a dumpster fire. Here's what take. This should be a message of hope. It's like you're still yourself through all of this. That's what I want everybody to. I really wanted everybody to know you're still yourself. You can still have a center in your own heart and be okay, even
you
if
can.
The world. You can.
That's Talk what. That, it. Like honestly, that's. That's what this whole thing is so inspiring about. And in this, like I underlined one of the things that the beautiful Debbie Ryan said. She said, I've been told God doesn't waste pain. And I've seen firsthand the beauty and comedy Arden was able to find even during the shadows of tragedy. And that's exactly like, not everybody can do that. It's really difficult. You know, we're not saying like it's just, you should do this, but knowing that you can get through this with some dignity and some semblance of a balanced approach.
Here are the top five things that I, honestly, the gift of the grief was I could not people please. And that my body instinctively knew, we were talking earlier, who I wanted to text back, who I didn't have the time for yet, but I would later. What I wanted to do, what podcasts I wanted to do, what work things I wanted to do, what I didn't want to do. And also, I knew that somebody told me that to play, and I don't even think this, everyone says that this isn't even proper grammar, which is probably not, but like to play was the regulator of grief for the cells in the body. So
yeah,
there was
I saw
some,
you mentioned that.
So I literally just almost did like an experiment. I was like, okay, that the body needs to play a little bit. And so my brother and I would like have little dance parties. And then like Debbie made us a dance. We made us like a playlist on Spotify and we would like dance to like ABBA and then like fall on the ground and cry. But like there was something about that or like I still wanted to do my Bachelor podcast. Like that you start to know like I would have known like, oh, Jessie Mae feels like a safe person. Like you can see who's – and sometimes you guess wrong. Sometimes you're like, nope.
But I think you notice that quickly.
And you so I call it grief island, and it's like that you lower the bar, eliminate your like make half the commitments, maybe one third of the commitments that you normally do. Allow time for just lying on the couch, allow time for watching whatever your reality. I don't know what your jam is, what your Great British Bake Off or Queer Eye is. I don't know what your thing is, but like something that you're like, I would watch like Queer Eye or Great British Bake Off where I'm like, oh, is the baker going to bake the Lion Cake? And it's like I could focus on it. It was like the TV version of Prozac. I would go to gym classes that were 60 minutes long and I would show up at like the 38 minute mark and just sort of slow shuffle and kind of cry in the back, but just move around a little bit. Like.
Did
just,
you really do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to keep yourself moving? Like.
Yeah. I just felt like I know I do better with a little movement. I knew I needed to get like I would go on walks and then I would go eat a lot of tacos with people, but like only like who felt safe, like, okay, Debbie's safe. Like who can handle, who do I not, it's the, here's who I couldn't handle. I couldn't handle the, she's in a better place, like that.
Oh God.
I know people mean well, but people are like, just know you're not quite at your best. And they're like, oh, this is my friend, don't mind her. Like if I didn't have to be okay, it actually made it easier for me to actually be okay than if somebody manically needed for it to be like, but they're okay, right? They're gonna be okay, right?
You.
You're fine. Yeah. And it's like, look, I know your mom's not out of the hospital yet. I know there's like a gray area. I know it's great news that she's alive, but I know it's a complicated path. And like the people that want to wrap it up with a bow and be like, but it's good news, right? It's like, well, it's like it's hard to be in the hallway. And I think that's what this year has been with the pandemic. It's like getting comfortable being uncomfortable and being with the people and the things that feel safe and joyful. And just know you're going to make a few errors along the way. You just can course correct and be like, bye, Felicia.
I think that's exactly what this year is about. It's really teaching you how to sit in chaos and realize that it's not the end of the world, even though it feels like it and everyone keeps saying it. There's so many magical powers that people have within themselves that sometimes it takes this chaotic, destructive time to unearth those powers.
I've been so impressed at how people have pivoted, how it now seems normal to do a podcast like this, and like that you can actually get, I didn't expect to be doing a book, like I thought I'd be on tour right now, doing a book tour, like, and yet because of the book, I reached out to people I knew who all have podcasts, and I feel like I've had these moments of connection and grace and these conversations with people, like, even though we're safely, that there's still magic. It's just like there's a simplification. It won't always be like this. And like, I've learned not to be afraid of my own company.
Yeah. And that's a step further. I've learned to like not be afraid of my own company, but also like enjoy it more.
Me too. I like my own company. I'm kind of fun.
Right?
Yeah.
You described the pig fucking the pig Casso chapter is so much. There's so much happening. But you said it was a beautiful, horrible day. And I think that sort of encapsulates my mindset of this year. Yeah. Is finding the beauty in the horror.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I certainly didn't. I was like, well, 2019's over. At least it's going to be a fresh start, you know? Like, and I remember when my mom died that there were so many fun things in my life, as it sounds like you have so many fun, like that I was like, no, she wouldn't want me to like go down with the ship. Like, yep. And it doesn't mean you have to be Pollyanna about it. But even like this year with the pandemic, like, I have been depressed in my life. I have been super depressed for like 2 years and cried all the time. And like, you know, and I had a really hard time a couple years in my 20s. And I just thought, like, I feel like it's like momentum. It's like it's easier just to kind of keep the ship upright and going than to like if I really give in and really get into bed and really just like let myself go. I've done that, and it takes so long to climb out from that.
It does.
That it's like maybe this is a gift. Like, and it's not personal, and it's happening to everybody. And all right. It's like screaming at the sky because it's raining. Like, it's not my ideal. I'm aware that I'm lucky that, like, we're in an industry where I've been able to figure out ways to earn. Like, I'm aware. Like, I don't say that flippantly. I know if that's, like, you know, a lot of people don't know how they're going to pay their lights, right. You know, things like that.
We are sort of in an industry where if you have the means, you can pivot.
Yeah.
A little and just put the rock in the river so the water goes a different way.
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't say I'm like rolling in it, but I know I will be able to pay for my car this year, and I don't take that for granted.
I was going to ask you, when you were talking about grief and, you know, the great things that came from it for you, what was some of the hardest things? What was the more difficult aspects of grief in your relationship with it that you looking back maybe realize now?
I'll tell you, with both of them, I was surprised how much grief I had for my dad, because I had all the warning. I mean, he died for like 30 years, literally, and he was tough. Like, he wasn't a nice guy. And I, you know, I'd done all the work. Like, if it was just never going to happen with him. Like, I was never going to get the big, I'm proud of you, I love you. Like if it was, I did everything in my power. Like, if it was ever going to happen, it would happen. It just wasn't going to happen. Like, he just couldn't do it. And I was at peace with that. I was surprised how much sadness I had when he died. And then so I learned that it takes like about a full year. And like I felt like myself again about a year later. And when my mom died, I'd had about 4 months of kind of feeling myself again.
God.
When she died, I felt like somebody had thrown me onto the roller coaster at like Six Flags, and like the shoulder things came down. I was like, oh fuck, like here we go. And
but didn't quite click. The shoulder things came down, but they didn't latch, and you're like,
fuck. And it's like, I don't want to be like, I just did this. Like,
I don't want to be here.
And I want to be like, I'm like, I just want to be like the fun cast member who's not grieving. Like, I just fucking did this. And so I would say the harder, I think it's the hardest things of grief for me are you feel like you're going to feel that way forever. You know, you feel that you're going to feel other or different than other people forever. Or I always liken it to being like a Macy's Day balloon where like 11 out of the 12 handlers have lost the handles. Like there's only one person. You've left Earth and there's like you feel kind of crazy, you know.
You do.
Which makes it harder to connect. So like even with your safe friends, you feel like a little bit weird, a little bit. You know, and I think you feel like you're going to feel like that forever. You yep. feel like you're going to feel like a freak in the crowd, even with the most accepting friends. You feel like you're going to feel different forever. And that you don't even realize how much you're holding your breath with that.
Yeah.
Until it is gone and you don't feel like that anymore.
And it feels more like that. Like you said, people's grief language is so lacking that just drives the nail in even more.
Well, there's so many people who are so nervous about it. Like, I think I never in my life, I mean, I grew up in a family that did not talk about feelings, but never in my life did I feel that. I actually feel like it's part of my journey on Earth to normalize grief. Like, that it's okay to grieve. It's okay. Like, it's normal. And I actually feel like that's what this year is. Like, I've been very socially distanced from people. So like when I hang, I do hang with the mask outside, and it's like I miss my friends' fucking faces.
Yeah, I miss,
you know,
chins.
Like,
I miss chins.
Oh my god, I love a chin. Lauren Lapkus came over yesterday, and I was like, can I just see your like lower face?
She's got a great face.
Oh, she's got such a good face. I'm like, just let me just see your face. I just miss your fucking face.
You can't have Lapkus over and not see a profile.
Yeah, I'm like, who's this mysterious Lapkus?
We should do 2021 like Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather have that. I'm so sick of just, give me a chin.
Give me a lower lip. I don't even, like, give me a white girl upper lip. Like, give me one of these.
Give me anything. I also would say the thing that was really hard with grief was, and I don't, like, just when it would sneak up on you, like, I remember, like, finding my mom's nail. Like, I had, like, one day to just throw shit in a bag and bring it back to the Airbnb in Atlanta. So, like, one little roller suitcase of my mom's stuff, you know. So, I took, like, a nightgown, her cat, like, paperwork, some jewelry. I just sort of shoved and, like, some makeup. And I found, like, her nail file. And there was something. I remember it was, like, I hadn't really opened the bag, but I opened it, and like 4 weeks later, there was something about the smallness of like a nail file that this woman had like just used, and like seeing that, like with her, there's something so human, and just sobbing uncontrollably and thinking that I was never going to be able to see an item of hers and not just like lose it again.
Yeah.
But it does, I will say, and you can't speed it up.
You can't. There's no, it's.
You can't. There's no free pass. The only way through is through. You just got to walk through that. But I really believe you got to feel it to heal it. And I think if you actually let, like, if you build in some sort of fun and then play. I found a therapist in Atlanta that I went to twice a week. And then I found a couple groups I went to. And, like, so I had a place to go be not okay. And then that enabled me to play. It took the burden off of my friends to have the sobbing woman on their hands. And then, like, you know, so I could pay people or go to afford, like, free basements and, you know, cry with shitty coffee so that I could go have fun and show up. And then I actually found I did like going to work and I did like doing this stuff so I could forget about it. But, like, so that was my thing. It was, like, if you actually just sort of feel it and process it and go through the why and don't let people, like, talk you out of it, I actually feel like it doesn't leave as many scars as when you fight it or pretend it's not there. Like it's like a clean cut. Like, it's not a dirty scrape along the pavement. Right. It's like a clean knife cut. Like, you know, I now feel, like, pretty joyful. I'm like, oh, she's everywhere. I feel joyful. But when people would say that to me, like, oh, she's still with you, it's like, go fuck yourself. Your mom's still with you in fucking Cincinnati. Fuck you. You know?
Carol.
Carol, excuse you.
Rude.
Rude.
Rude, but accurate. I know she's with me. She's everywhere, but rude.
Yeah, excuse me.
Please
How
don't
do
come
know?
At me with your grief quotes that you got off a plaque at Marshall's.
Yeah.
Don't come at me with your Marshall's grief quotes.
With your, like, namaste grief quote wall, like a fixer-upper. Like, it's like don't put some fucking wainscoting in your grief quote coming at me. I can't. How are you doing? How are you processing?
Great.
So you're in the middle of it right now.
Yeah,
you're in
the
middle of it. How's she doing?
I feel like my dad's death, like you said, it breaks you apart, but it opens you up in a way that, for me, it's opened me up so wide that there isn't any place, there's not as many divots in my soul where worry and fear and doubt get to hang on to. You know what I mean? My soul has been was cast so wide after my dad died that I feel like those sort of things just sort of go right through me in a different fashion. So with this whole thing with my mom, the unknown being the most difficult aspect of it, it's not that I've come to peace with the outcome. I just know that the outcome could go either way. And that I'm such a crier.
Oh my God, I cry all the time. Are you kidding me?
I
cry
the
all
most
the time. You can cry to me.
Beautiful
sure.
Part of life is that we don't hang on to it. You know, it's
weird when you are really face to face with the cycle of life. It's not for sissies, man. I'll
no, it's
that.
Not. And it just, if you're lucky enough, like you know, you described your mom as somebody who loved being a mom and who put so much effort into it, and it sounded like she was fun and colorful and spontaneous and also responsible in instilling values in you, but allowing you the space to be you. That's what makes it so much more difficult. Like if my mom was just a crack whore and my dad was, you know, her pimp, I'd be a stripper instead of a comedian. And I would mask all my feelings. No offense to strippers. Not that that's, you know, I got to say that these days, but you know, some of you are fucked up like us. That's why we seek each other out.
Oh, it's either a pole or a mic stand.
Same thing. We're hanging off of it the same way.
You know, it's funny when you say that about your dad. I will say, like, I was aware that my biggest fear was because my mom was alone in the country that she would die and nobody would find her. Like, it literally happened. And I will say, because I was such a worrywart, my biggest fear happened. Worrying about it in advance didn't prevent it. It didn't spare me when it happened. And it didn't, like there's really no point. You can truly survive anything.
You can.
And you're okay no matter, we are not in charge. You're okay no matter what. And, like, there's so much magic and, like, this is it. Like, there's so much, and you can celebrate. Like, I think even just, you know, in the other parts of the book, like, there was so much of me, I think, for so many years that felt different or wrong that was like, you know, I think so many people think, oh, if I only made this amount of money or weighed this much or had my house look like, it's like, then I'll be okay. It's like, fucking start, like, you're lovable no matter what. Like, as is, start today. Like, fuck it. Like, have some celebration. Hang out with people that don't hurt you. Go to where the love is. What makes your tail wag? Protect your magic. And, like, what's your specific sparkly little thing, the pure essence of what's your little purpose and your little tail wagging to give to the world? And, like, go for it. That's it.
Balls out.
That's it.
Well, speaking of going for it.
Yes.
People went for some questions. Would you want to answer some fan questions?
I would love to.
Now,
it's such a joy to talk to you, can I just say?
It's really.
I'm happy to talk to you.
I'm happy to talk to you, too. And I was just like looking at the recording. I'm like, I can't. It feels like 5 minutes. I've been talking to you for 5 minutes. Are you open to all questions?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Let's see. This is I'm a terrible reader.
Me too.
A Packard, whatever that is. Do you ever feel just so overwhelmed by life and its challenges?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Listen to this whole podcast. That's all we're talking about.
Oh my God. I do. I will say, like, I've learned how to put structure into my life. I think when you have a job that is freelance, essentially, I do better with some routine.
Same.
And I do better also breaking things down into baby steps. So, like, even, like, the book, I didn't sit down and just, like, write from, like, noon to three. Like, I didn't sit down and write it in order. Like, I had to start with the I always sneak through, like, the dormer window. I don't go through the front door of a project.
Same.
And I, like, took so many naps and blackouts. So, like, I get overwhelmed. But, like, I allow my friend says I'm organized chaos. So, like, just, like, baby steps. Just move the marker forward a little bit every day. Like,
incremental progress.
But action. I'm an anxious person. And so if I let my feeling how I felt dictate what I did, I would never leave my fucking house. So, like, my feelings are not allowed to dictate what I do for the day. How I feel cannot dictate whether I show up and do the things I want to do or don't want to do. And that's how I, and then eventually I feel better. I go to bed because I actually, like, dealt with my shit.
Right. I think structure is a really good approach to handling challenges.
Yeah.
Nicole, this is a real challenge. Nicole S. Andoval 59. Wow.
Love this.
She put
love
all
this.
The letters and words in there.
I love this for her.
What does Jessie smell like?
Ooh, I was going to say, like, that Sandal 33. Like, I was going to say, like, that, you know what I mean? It's like that sort of, like, it's like a woodsy but beautiful perfume. It's like that, you know, that Santal 33. In
like
my
a tree.
Mind.
I smell like a tree and moss.
No. It's like that bougie. It's like a roller oil that's like
yes,
a bougie.
Yes, I use a roller oil and
it's
like
a roller
vanilla.
Oil. It's like bougie but like kind of like earthy but like you want to get into that hair and be like, what is that? Am I right?
Yes.
Great.
Trevor Turbo asks, do you like Metallica or Slayer?
Metallica.
Really?
Yeah, do you like Slayer?
You know, both of them give me a little bit of anxiety, but I see the need to kind of thrash.
Yeah.
And let it out.
Yeah, sure.
Metallica feels, and this is no offense to any Metallica fans. Fuck
sure.
You guys. Metallica feels like a metal band Disney made.
I respect that. I respect that.
I'm going to get so much hate mail.
I love that. But you know what? Why not? Go
Slayer
go
feels
go
like
home.
The sister. Like Metallica went to school to learn how to rock. And and Slayer's a sister who like got raped as a teenager and like had to rock for survival.
Right. There you go. Didn't want to become a comedian. So there you go. Yeah. I get that. Great.
Unky Brian. Oh, God. This one comes with some strange questions. Being a white woman, what is your love for clean cotton Yankee candles and sconces?
I don't like a Yankee candle.
I don't either. They're trash.
Awful. They're trash. I mean, I don't speak for all white women. I don't think I have exactly the same taste as all white women. So I'm going to say pass on the Hallmark Yankee candle. I like a sconce. I feel like, you know, look, I'm not mad at sometimes. I think sometimes overhead lighting can be harsh.
Very harsh.
And I don't ever mind having like a nice glow to give me a nice youthful glow. I get sometimes as a white woman, you get sort of like a grayish pallor that's not like, you know, I need a little help to keep like in the wintertime looking fresh. So I'll take a sconce.
If anybody wants to send us a sconce, we would love, we each have podcasts. Send us a podcast sconce.
I need a podcast sconce, please.
This question, without fail, always finds its way onto the podcast.
Love this.
S. Lucy Grant. Basically, have you ever crapped your pants?
Of course, obviously.
Have you ever crapped your pants on set?
No, but I did shit on my neighbor's lawn.
Good for you.
Jogging. Coffee.
Wait, so you had to go and you're like, so if it was your neighbor, you couldn't make it to your house?
Not in Los Angeles. Couldn't make it to my house. Not in the country.
Okay.
In the country.
Yeah, that couldn't say like Los Angeles.
Not in like I shat on like Kirstie Alley's lawn. I don't live in that fancy part of a town. But like, you know, you don't know who lives where. I don't know. I've never shat on a California neighbor's lawn, but I have shat on a neighbor's lawn. And
I'm going to guess there's a lot of lawns in California that have been shat on purposefully.
I think I have shat my pants also jogging. I think I've shat my pants. Have you shat your pants?
You know, this is going to sound like a humble brag. I don't know that I have.
Oh, wow.
I take that back.
You have.
Everybody I has. Take it back. I, a couple shat days ago, it happened a couple days ago.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the thing. I would say, my brother phrased it like this. My brother and I have shared pants shitting stories. One time he got really close. He was really close to, he made it. But he said, it was after like a raucous New Year's Eve out.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
He said, so Soupy alcohol, poops. Alcohol morning after January 1st. Oh. He told me that his intestines were so excited that they knew they were all, like, he really had to go. And his intestines were so excited. He lived in Brooklyn. There was like an elevator situation. They were so excited. They were like puppies doing circle. Like they knew they were going to get to go for like a car ride, but like they knew they were close to home that they like that. He, I think that's what happened with me with the neighbor's lawn where like I made it back from like the end of my, I was like, I went for like a 3 mile jog and like at mile 1.5, I'm like, oh, I got to go back. So I'd made it so close, and I think they got excited like puppies, and they knew they were close to home. They were so excited they were going to get to go to the beach that they shat on the neighbor's lawn.
It's like your brain is so used to your routine, and it's like, oh, let me just send this text message to the bowels. Okay, you can go. And you're like,
go time.
No!
Go time. I'm so excited. I'm almost home. Go time.
But it feels so good when you get a nice soupy poop day.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Dude, it feels... You feel, you're like, oh, maybe I should get new headshots.
Like, you're like, let's go to the beach. Let's go buy bikinis.
Let's go buy bikinis.
The bloat is gone.
The bloat, like, who knew that was all in there?
So much stuff is in there. It's rude.
So much stuff. Rude.
So many foods. I tried on, okay, I need you to help me settle a debate.
Yeah.
I am furious. Can I tell you why I'm furious?
Please.
Furious.
Please.
Not because I can't see my mom during COVID times and the hospital visitation has been paused. Not furious because of that. Furious because of yoga pants that come up to your rib cage. What's with the... How high? Whose waist is this high?
I have a really long torso.
Do those look good on you?
I have to tell you, as a woman who is built like a corgi dog, as a small, big-titted, big... bootied, saggy, big titty, long corgi dog.
Now you're flirting.
Torso of a 5 foot, not, torso of like a 6'4".
You do have a long torso.
Inseam of like a 2-year-old. So it's the proportions. I look better with a higher waist because if it's low, it's like, whoa, she's got a lot of belly area, rib cage. Hide it.
I have like Kermit a little skinny girl fupa. It's like a little, and I have I'm all leg.
You're Kermit the Frog. You're short.
I'm
and
shrunk.
Long.
I have a
corgi.
Low butt.
I'm
My
a
butt's
corgi.
Low.
Yeah. So you're Kermit. I'm Corgi. We should make an Adventures of Kermit and Corgi cartoon. So
this is
so
a truth.
You,
this is what we need to
so
work
yours
on.
So yours comes up to your titty. Mine, I actually feel like, oh, she looks good. They look good on me.
Well, then
they
I have like 6 pairs for you that I'll
Thank
send
you.
To you.
I would like them. I'll take
I look
them.
Like, you know what I look like? I put it on and I have a regular mirror, but it looks like I have one of those funhouse mirrors that makes you smushed because the pants are up underneath my tits. Furious.
Okay. I'll take them. I will take them happily.
I think we need to solve that before we figure out homelessness. We need to figure out the pants
That's
situation.
Very important.
It's
very
an
important.
Extremely important situation for us to handle.
Very important. Get on that, Joe.
We have one last question from one of my super fans, Blakey Sherms, a.k.a. Blake Sherman, a.k.a. Sherman 5465. Does Arden think Carol killed her husband?
Yes. And fed him to the tigers? Yeah. For sure.
For sure.
Guilty, guilty, guilty. Yeah.
Definitely did it and probably smiled.
Oh, I would know.
Do you think she wore a special outfit for it? Because she had a lot of weird outfits.
Yes. Oh, she was definitely wearing a tiger print while she definitely. Okay, did you watch The Vow with the Nexium?
I've been hearing about this. Do I need to watch The Vow?
I think you do. And now everybody's telling me I need to watch Seduce. I know you're out there going, I should watch Seduce. I know that, but I'm not a member of STARS. I have to get a member. I have to get STARS. I have to become a member of
STARS. Excuse me? You don't have a table?
I'm not a member at Stars yet.
I am a member of Stars.
Will you sponsor me so I can become a member at Stars?
I want the nicest table in this restaurant.
Excuse me. I need a nice... Rude. Rude. You do need to watch it. Here's what I want to tell you. Cult branding volleyball.
What's
volleyball.
That?
Volleyball.
Is that
volleyball.
A hint?
In the Nexium, in the vow, it's like a cult with a sex cult in Albany with branding and their love of volleyball.
Okay, I'm from upstate. Late now I need to watch it. Albany, you had me at Albany.
Albany, sex cult, all night volleyball session.
I mean, yeah, 1,000% I'd sign up. Has anyone been to Albany?
I can't believe that many people are fucking in Albany, that they're so into dirty fucking that they need branding
Girl,
in Albany.
You know why? Because it's the capital of New York State and all the little political shit goes down there.
Wasn't that where Wiener, Wiener was doing it? Wasn't Wiener?
Yeah, Eyes Wide Shut shit. They show up with their political briefcases and leave them at the door.
Thank you.
And they go and they put on, you know, elephant underwear.
I don't want that. What town are you from?
Syracuse.
Okay.
Yeah.
I worked at a camp in Saranac Lake.
You did? What did you do there?
I was completely, it was so fun. They should never have hired me. I was 18 years old. For an entire summer, I had like 30 10-year-old girls in my cabin at the age of 18. I should never have been taking care of 30 10-year-olds at 18.
I mean, you think about places like that. People are just, but
in
then
the
again,
woods.
When you have kids.
In the woods.
Go ahead. Leave them. Let
in
them
the
go.
In the woods.
Yeah.
Any murderer could come. There was no lock on the cabin door.
No. That, why would there be a lock? That would be safe. There's an 18-year-old big-titted, big-ass, thin-waisted,
oh my God.
Perfect in high-waist yoga pants counselor.
And at that point in time, I was like 30 pounds heavier. So I huge tits, huge ass gut, burrito beer gut.
Oh.
Some like fun like college shame.
I just want a burrito beer gut. I really kind of want to grow one of those.
Oh my God, I could do it. I could do it in 11 days. If I really
I could
really
do
think
it
about
in
it.
One.
I think I could probably do it over a long weekend at like a peanut butter factory.
Yeah. I have
burritos
all
and
the...
peanut butter like pie McFlurry. Yeah.
A lot of beans, because I feel like you could fill up the gut with a lot of air.
Oh, I like that. I like that for us.
You know.
And then we go jogging. And then when we're done,
we're
like, I got to get back.
On all the lines.
Well, when I first started, it wasn't an option to have any curves. Like, that wasn't a thing. There was no thing where anybody was, like, anybody that was any size that was normal. So it's like...
Now there's variables.
Now you can like be a normal human being.
It's kind of great. It really is kind of great. And here I am, a little skinny bitch with a fupa, and I might have to send a hate crime letter to Marshalls, the buyer.
Yeah, you should.
It's a hate crime.
I love Marshalls so much. I love Marshalls. I love
their fitting room is great for a grief fetal.
Oh.
You ever get into a grief fetal in public?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Those are fun.
I took a nap. I passed out in the middle of our living room floor, like at the feet of people the night.
I was wondering about that. I read that. I was like, I wonder if she really, like, were you just so exhausted?
I couldn't. I almost like just blacked out. I just couldn't because I'd been up and like we'd been making those birdseed bags. Yeah. And I'm like, and I just... blacked out like at the but I needed the comfort of people. Like I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to go to my room, and these were all my people, and I just curled up like a little ball and I just slept at the feet of everybody for like 2 hours, and then I came and I emerged and I did the entire Jesus Christ Superstar soundtrack. Bum 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 ba da 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 da. Who knew that's what needed to happen? But that was the weirdest production. And then it was also my brother and I did a brother-sister production of Little Shop of Horrors, where he was Seymour and I was Audrey.
Suddenly Seymour. Martin.
To my brother. I did to my brother. That's what went
beautiful.
Down the night. That's what had to happen. We played Suddenly Seymour at my mom's funeral with the piano. We tried to get Beyonce. They said no, so we got Suddenly Seymour.
I read that where you asked if you could play all the single ladies Single Ladies by Beyonce, and they said no, and I thought that was rude.
I know. I was like, can we play music?
It's your funeral. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, an anthem about women feeling comfortable being single is bad under the roof of Jesus?
Thank you. Jesus is mad at a cute, fun jumpsuit and jaunty moves in unison.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Do you know the story of Mary?
Excuse me.
Hello?
She got a jumpsuit.
Yes, she did. They weren't, you know, they didn't make it.
Yeah, she was a single lady. What's your plan for the rest of the year? What's your plan for the holidays? What are you going to do?
I'm going to go home.
Okay.
And ride this mom wave.
I think that's smart. You need to go be home.
I'm going to go be home with my sister.
That's smart.
Do all my work from there.
It's best to be with people who feel the same way. You don't need to not feel any. You don't need to not feel that.
No, that's how I feel, though. It's like.
And the whole town will get it. Everybody there will get it.
Yeah. You said you were. When you were in Little Compton, that you were like embraced, the whole town embraced you.
Yeah. I mean, and they still do. I feel like they're still, I was worried when you hope, because it's a small town, you hope people like it. And they're, so I think that they've all been really nice and excited about this. Like, they really did.
I mean, you really, like, has, you said the most famous thing is Poe the Crow.
Yeah, Poe the Crow, who stole the mail. Poe the Crow. You should read the whole book. It'll make you laugh.
I've already decided I'm going to. I probably
the early parts are silly. There's a lot of silliness. It doesn't get heavy till the end. So like it's like light reading and there's photos and shit. It's a good light read.
It's really inspirational because I told you before, I also started writing a book a few years ago and linked up with a literary agent, and you know, we were getting ready to shop it all, and then my woman that I was working with that was helping me write it, her father died, and her and I were so involved that I just stopped the process.
Maybe you need to write it by yourself.
And then I started again and started writing about my dad and everything that was going on with my dad, and then my mom happened. So I really want to, like, off the podcast, like, get some serious inspiration from you, like, just like what my next steps just any sort of advice, because I feel like I'm at a.
I will tell you, I actually found the process of. I wrote most of this newly grieving.
Right.
And there's like a magic to that because you're crazy.
Yeah.
And your channel's open, and you can't lie. Your truth is open, and your heart is open, and. There was something, and you're a funny person, so it's not going to be a drag.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a certain moment in time, like, I knew from my dad, like, you feel like you're going to feel that way forever and that you're always going to remember it, and then you don't. Like, I think, I don't have kids, but I would imagine it's probably like childbirth, that you, like, forget it so you can do it again, you know?
Yep.
That's what I've heard. Maybe women who've had multiple kids are like, fuck you, you remember everything. but I think I sort of knew that I was like, I could have easily postponed writing this, but that there was a certain grace of like, I'm here writing this right now. I'm in an Airbnb with my mom's cat writing this right now. Like, and showing up at the page and the grace of that. And it was a different book than I sold. And it's a better book. It's a better book. It's honest.
Yep.
And it's all of it. So I would tell you to read the whole thing. Write down all your funny shit from your life. Write down this, like, just, like, literally, when I say it, like, literally a list of, like, so I basically made, like, here's my 10 most embarrassing stories.
Right.
Like, best of, like, the shit in the pant, whatever. Like, here's my 10 worst moments in my life that are, like, the ones that are, like, the essence. And then I would maybe write down, like, things you learned from your dad, passing stuff. And then maybe, like, where you're at right now. And see if there's a structure and a story there of, like, what that would be.
Who I am on the other side of. It's really, you're right. It's interesting to be in this place where I'm not sure what's going on with my mom.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
Right.
And writing from, because you're right, writing from a exposed, open place is, there's I can't be fake anymore. I can't people please anymore.
Oh my God.
It feels so fucking good though.
Well, that's the thing. This is the biggest gift that I've ever. So I took out multiple proposals for this. I guess we're just going to have this on your podcast. I've taken out multiple proposals for this. And like over the years. And so it was like, and then when it was Sarah Colonna and Guy Branum's book agent reached out to me and was like, I want to take out a proposal with you. And I was like, ugh, like again, like this just, I don't want to do this again. Like, and then this was in summer of 2018. And then I thought, okay, what the version of me now, what would I want to say? Like, not the person that thought that I wanted to do it like 8 years, like now or whatever, 5 years ago. Like, what would I want to say now? And then, so I wrote the proposal of that, which I'm happy to send to you. And then when my mom died, it was like, oh, this is a, she was barely in the proposal. And then my friend says, it's not my memoir, it's my mom-war. And I actually think it became a more, even though it sounds daunting and dark, it sounds heavy to write, it actually became a more optimistic, joyful book. It was more a celebration. I think my dad was more prevalent, but it's like, this was all like, look at this mad, fun, crazy lady that, like, look at all this fun shit that I was programmed with because of this woman. And it was fresh in my brain because everybody was telling me about it. I was like, I'm just going to start with a feeling of that. And like, no bullshit. And what would I want to, what would the 21-year-old version of me want to hear? What would young Arden want to hear? Like, and like, what would you want to say to a young lady out there that is like, you have stuff, there's your channel's open right now.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be funny. Like, of course. So I made sure, like, I wanted it to be honest. I wanted it to be funny. I wanted it to be hopeful. And I wanted to tell the truth and, like, what's true to you?
And I think, and you honestly, like, from the chunks that I have consumed, you've done that. It's so pure and it's so raw. And honestly, through the darkness, the darkness doesn't feel so light through your filter.
I feel like it's a really hopeful, fun book.
And what would you say? You know, you were talking just a second ago about what you would say to your younger self. And yeah, something important I want to touch on before I let you go shit on your neighbor's lawn.
Sure. I mean, somebody's got to do it.
I'm going to be right over.
I've got a can of beans, a cup of coffee, and a will to run.
I'm coming over. We're going to do a dual chamber drop on your neighbor's lawn.
Fupa. Yeah, great.
What would you say to people listening and people who may be going through similar situations that you and I have experienced, grief, losing somebody in the process of losing somebody? What would you say to them that you would, you know, would have wanted to know then?
Find somebody you can talk to that's not your family member, anybody. Like, find an outside place where it's okay to be not okay. Get, like, schedule yourself a place to go, whether that's a group, a 12-step group, a therapist, or you can get counselors, like some insurance or like social worker. And put on a dance song. Like, you're not betraying a loved one if you have a little fun. Like, you're not betraying somebody's, and protect yourself from the vampires. Like, you know who makes you feel good and you know who kind of makes you feel bad when you're around them. And it doesn't mean, you don't need to make a big deal about it, but like, maybe schedule more of the good and less of the bad. And you're going to be okay. But like, listen to your inner compass. Like, listen to your inner compass. I really believe that like, we swim towards the surface, like our body instinctively knows how to take care of it, like for the next indicated action. So like, lower the bar.
Yep.
Listen to your body, but make sure you go like do one fun thing. Like, what's something that's a little fun and safe, and it can be really simple.
Like I like roller skating. That's,
oh my God,
getting stoned and going, getting stoned and rolling.
Oh my God, Debbie
rolling
Ryan,
a joint and rolling on my skates.
Debbie Ryan and I went. We would go roller skating. I went to like the roller derby. I did karaoke, and like, it's, you know, like, and so now you could do karaoke in your house. You can dance in your house, go for a walk, like move your body a little bit and just protect yourself from the frenemies. And it doesn't, you don't need to deal with it all now. You don't need to end a friendship or have that big chat or be like, you know what, Rhonda? Like, you don't need to deal with it. Just like,
fuck you, Rhonda.
You know what, Rhonda? Go fuck yourself. Fuck you, Rhonda.
Oh, my mom's still with me? Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, my mom's in a better place. All right, why don't you trade with my mom? Your mom's in a fucking better place. Go fuck you, Rhonda.
Fuck you, Rhonda. Oh, my mom's still with me? You're not with me. Bye-bye. For that reason, I'm out.
And truly, that would be what I would say. I would definitely lower the bar. Like, just know, like, you don't need to feel great. Just know, like, you're just making it through. You're just, like, and it's okay to cry. You don't need to feel great. Take a hot bath. You don't need to feel great. You can feel, like, crazy. But be your friend. Like, you're still allowed to, like, you can feel terrible and still have a little fun. Like,
I think that's an important sentiment, like, the betrayal of your loved one. Like, you're feeling like you need to be so sad all the time during grief. And there's a place and time, and you really have to, more often than not, find the energy, create the energy, manifest the energy to do something fun.
I mean, even listening to a podcast like this, my podcast is really fun. Like, find places that are safe that, like, pop it in. If you're going to go for a walk, like, listening to something that's fun and positive and makes you laugh a little. You're not a bad person if you laugh.
No. And you're not a bad person if you laugh and take a shit in your neighbor's lawn. That's science.
Or if you laugh as you take a shit and you scream. I will be honest with you. I chose the neighbor. Not just based on the bush covering.
And was your bush covered?
My giant bush. It's hard to cover this bush. Are you kidding me? There's so much to cover. It's like a canned ham down there.
The COVID bush, the quarantine bush.
You know what? Oh, my God. I booked a wax for like 3 weeks from now. I can't wait.
I love that you're whispering into the podcast.
I'm so excited. COVID bush. I was like, I can't. I can't be. I've been tending to it so much myself. But there's like, it's just like the razor burn. Like, and I'm like, no.
Mine looks like this.
Oh my God.
This actually is my bush. Like, this is coming
out
of my pants.
Mine grows like a fan and has pink roses. It's a full covering.
Oh my God.
COVID bush is no,
it's no
joke.
Girl.
Nobody. COVID.
Mine looks like Lionel Richie from the 70s.
Mine looks like mine looks like Gallagher. And also does prop comedy.
Oh, God, does it smash watermelons?
It smashes. These things will smash. You want to smash that watermelon? It also wears striped shirts. It's not great. It's not. It wouldn't recommend it right now. I wouldn't be like, ooh, yeah. Hey, Raya. Hi, John Mayer. Hi, John Mayer.
Recommend this. Everybody go out and get it.
You'll laugh. You'll cry in the intro and you'll cry at the outro, but you'll laugh in between.
It's amazing. Forward by Debbie Ryan.
This horny gal wrote it for you. Look at that fox. Barb from Stranger Things. You think I didn't recreate that and make a puzzle of that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait.
I made my own fucking puzzle. Look at that bag. Oh, by the way, if you want a tote like that, and that's a high-end tote. That's not some bullshit.
No, this is a legitimate tote.
That's like a high-end.
You sent me a puzzle, a book. You signed my book.
Fuck yeah, I did. You think I'm garbage? I'm going to treat you like garbage. You're my spirit animal.
Do you know what I did?
What?
Because of the place I'm at in my life and wanting to get back into my book, I put this out to see it every day as inspiration.
Yes. Read my book. I want you to read this whole thing. So
I'm
you
going
can
to.
See how it can be. So you can write a funny book while you're crazy.
Yep.
This is how you can read a funny book with an open heart that's not fully okay.
Yep.
But it's completely true. Like, it's pure. There's a purity. And I actually think it's a gift. There's a magic. I actually feel like there's like a connection happening that there's a window in time because it does heal. And I think the gift is in there's a truth serum that you don't have when you're not right in it like you are right now.
Yes, I agree with that. This honestly has been so delightful.
If you need a book agent, you want to submit the proposal, I have a great book agent.
Oh, this is a magical moment. Is it because I'm going to send you yoga pants?
Oh! I'll give you my address. Shut up my lawn. in and tell me that you love me. Yeah.
Give my fans your address. Where can they find you?
Thank you so much for asking. I am. Okay.
Podcast.
Little Miss Little Compton, if you want to get that tote and a signed copy, if you go to ardenmarinebook.com, but it's M-Y-R-I-N. Doesn't look like Marine. Looks like Myron. ardenmarinebook.com. Amy Schumer loves it. Molly Shannon loves it. Zach Galifianakis. Chelsea Handley. Our girl, Jessie May right here. I also host a podcast called Will You Accept This Rose? It's on iHeart, or you can get it wherever podcasts are. I'm on Insatiable on Netflix, but you can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. At Arden Marine, M-Y-R-I-N. I like design. I like fun clothes and cats. And that's what you'll find on my Instagram. And The Bachelor.
I like you.
I like you too, girl. Girl, I like you so much. And I was so happy. I've been thinking about you. And I was so happy to hear. And everyone's sending you good vibes. So she's still in the hospital.
Yep, she's still there. I think she's just at this point trying to find a new boyfriend.
Is she in a coma?
She's out. No, she's in a closet now. They just kind of put her in there just to...
She's looking for a doctor?
Yeah, she's looking for a hot doctor. I think she passed out with Steve in the room, and she's like, maybe I should upgrade.
Fuck you, Steve. Excuse you, Steve.
I'm 11 and you're Steve.
I'm 11 and you're Steve. That's the title of your book right there. I'm 11 and you're Steve is a really fun book title.
It is really fucking funny.
There's a chapter title. Write that down.
I will. You need to do a Steve chapter.
There you go. I'm 11 and you're Steve. There's your start of your new proposal.
God,
start
my
fresh.
My face hurts.
I would let you. Don't even look at your old proposal. Don't look at your old shit.
I won't. I honestly was going to.
Because don't do it. Because you can also go. You can go steal from it later when you write the book. Don't even look at it. Start here. I'm 11 and you're Steve. Start with, I need to do a dance number. My dad just died. Start with, I like to get high and go roller skating.
Yeah.
Start with, I got a FUPA in, you know, and start with, I'm on my dream job and now I'm flying and it's like COVID and this is where we are. But I think I'm 11 and you're Steve. Start with just that. Just jot
that
down.
That's a really good idea. I'm 11 and you're Steve. Chapter titled by Arden Marine.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Great. I also like, you know, I've seen you on a lot of podcasts and you talking even like even your intimate stuff you've been talking about and like the pizza, the guy that put like jot that shit. Those are chapters.
Yeah.
There's a chapter.
Yeah.
It could be an empowerment, funny, like fucking from a badass, strong woman. All the stuff that has been cracking open in you right now. Just jot it down. You don't need to put it in. It's not a commitment. It's just a proposal. But like, and then the book will tell you how to write it.
That's like the greatest idea, thinking about the podcast with Ryan Sickler.
Yeah,
that's a whole
jot down this. Here's like 10 chapter ideas, 15 chapter ideas, 3 lines each, and then here's like a sample chapter. I'm 11 and you're Steve. Just write that one.
I'm gonna have to title
chapter.
This podcast How to Write a Book.
That's it. And then what I did, so then they were like, okay, it's between 60,000 and 80,000 words. So I started out, I literally just did I would give myself stickers on like a calendar and I would do like 1,000 words a day, 1,500. I just started with the word count. And then I like printed it all out and like organized. I like cut. I was like, this goes with this. This goes with, like I cut and paste literally on the floor. But I just started with the word count. If I was just precious about coming over and over the first chapter again, it was never going to fucking happen.
Right. That's true. You just have to just fucking write it.
Just keep going. It's like learning how to become a headliner. Like you're getting to get to that fucking 50-minute mark. Get to the check drop and keep going. Like just learn, you know.
Get to the I miss the check drop. I miss it so much.
Get to the check drop and just barrel through the check drop. You know? So like, so just start with like literally Here's how you write your proposal. This is me. This is the overview of the book. Here's your little bio. These are the books that it's like. This is how I miss out. This is my audience. This is how many followers I have. And then you're like, okay, here's the book. Here's the 12 chapter. Here's 4 lines of each chapter. Here's 1 to 3 sample chapters. You could just write, I'm 11 and you're Steve. Work on it. Show it to a few friends. Email it to me. Email it to a few buddies. Tighten it up. And then like put some fun photos in, you know, and then send it off.
I'm going to fucking sell this thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell this thing and break hearts and mend them. I want to break and mend hearts.
Because it's also like you're like inspiring. You're like tough, funny, sexy, relatable, like baller, strong woman who also owns her sexuality, like loves pot, is a fun rascal, but also has a big soft heart. Like, and to all like the women out there, to inspire them that you can be all of that. And you can be, and that you can be smart. Like if people try to treat you like you're, you know, like that you are all of that, and you are smart and strong, and you earn your own money, and you are fucking like, you're a mogul. Like you're, all of those things are true.
That was so beautiful.
It's true.
You left out one thing.
What?
I'm Brad Pitt's girlfriend. Thank you.
Oh my God. I love that for you.
Thank you.
I love that for you.
You were honestly a delight, and I take all that to heart. I appreciate that. Sometimes we have to hear it from other people, you know, just to, when you're in certain places in your life, we need little reminders. And I honestly think like this episode will be a reminder for some people who need it, and also a tool to use when they might come into their life and find themselves in a place where the things that we've spoke about on this episode can be the magical tools that they need. So I thank
Shit
you for
happen,
that.
And you can be okay. You learn all about it in Little Miss Little Compton. Available worldwide, available on Kindle and audiobook. If you're like, I don't feel like reading it, maybe you should just get the audiobook.
You just get the audiobook, guys. Arden, I love you. Thank you so much.
I love you too. I'm thinking of you, and like, it may not be your best year ever, but you don't need to make it your worst.
You're a magical, magical human. Thank you.
You got this. I love you, boo. Bye.
Bye.